July 3rd, 2019, it's a Watt for Pedro show. Watch for Pedro Show, Brother Matt.
Yeah. Howdy.
Well, we're doing a Wednesday. We don't usually do
Yeah, shifting gears, holiday, big week.
That's right. And also, I was told by Mr. Wolfen that it had to happen today. It couldn't happen on our usual Thursday. You were gone last week. You're in B-Day mode, right?
Yeah, I'm still celebrating.
Okay. But next year, right at the end. You know, I had one B-Day a while ago. Nightmare come. But anyway, congrats on you making another trip around the fucking
world. Thank you.
And the Love Grotto here at the Pleasure Point is much richer and healthier for it.
Bitch.
You know, my life is way more much improved by having you in it. Thank you so much.
Back at you. Thank you.
Thank you for that. But it's not just both of us here. We did have the leaf blower. You know, one Halloween, Spotsky dressed up as a ninja leaf blower. But he left us. But we're
Sheboygan,
not alone because Sheboygan. Those software and developers in Estonia with their magic Skype wear. We have with us David Tramp. Are you talking to us from Hoboken, David?
I am. It's the very one, Hoboken. Yeah.
Mr. Sinatra's down.
Yeah, well, other people live here too, so.
And in fact, I hear he doesn't live there anymore.
No, he doesn't. Yeah, he doesn't live here.
He ended up doing a whole Palm Springs thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got out as quick as he could.
In fact, you know, there's that fucking weird-ass movie called The Barefoot Contessa. And they made a goddamn statue of Ava Gardner in it. He went and had put that statue in his Palm Spring pad, Brother Matt. My mom said that Ava Gardner was the woman who broke his heart, and he took care of her a whole time later.
Hmm.
Yeah, isn't that a trip? So, David, I dig the fact that you named your band your pop's name.
Yeah, it was sort of an accident. Yeah, well,
that's okay. I would have done the same. But I want to go way back before the Shrams. What is your earliest musical recollection?
My earliest musical recollection.
Before you answer that, I should say that we started the show off with Baya.
Oh.
With John Coltrane and Thelonious Monk, those 9 months in between his stints with Mr. Davis, where he quit the shit. And that's weird to start a show with Baya. But you know, things work better that way, right? And then we had the big stink from the Shrams. So, because it was your shortest tune, I thought, hey, of the batch that Howard had you flow me. So I know it's from your new thing here, but what is your earliest musical recollection, David?
It might be spinning my mom's Mitch Miller records on the hi-fi in the living room of my house in Levittown, Long Island,
Is that where Lou Reed grew up?
Oh, you know, I don't know.
I read the Victor Bach. I think so. I read the Victor Bach's book. He got shock treatment and shit. I mean, there's a few of these Levittowns. I know we had a guest a little while ago that was in the New Jersey one, right? This guy, he was, in fact, maybe he's the same. You know, I played at the Levitt Pavilion in the MacArthur Park last week. Maybe that guy, maybe that guy's involved. I don't know. Maybe it's a very common name, but I know about Levittown because it's kind of one of the progenitors of Trackhausen.
Yeah. It was potato fields before it was suburbia.
But before that, you know, if you think it, because I grew up maybe housing military stuff, and I think that's the really beginning paradigm for fucking Trackhausen. Just my stupid personal. So Mitch Miller Records. So your folks, were they listeners and players or just listeners?
My mom played a little guitar. My mom's dad had a polka band. He was a clarinet player.
Okay.
And so Licorice. He even had some. Yeah, he had records on some 78s on OK and on Columbia.
I was on that label. So was Howard.
Yeah.
In fact, that's the first record company, like 1888 or some shit. Yeah, like cylinders, right? They look like toilet paper rolls. So you have music in your family. What about pop?
No, I was an accountant, so that's okay.
No, but a listener, maybe?
Only in as much as he listened to he liked to listen to Rosemary Clooney and, you know, big band stuff like that.
Okay. Now, your mom played some guitar. Was there a guitar in the pad?
It was. It was an old arch top. Don't really remember what it was. It might have been a harmony or something like that.
Did you start getting your fingers all stuck in it?
I did, although when I really first started playing in earnest was when my older sister's surfer dude boyfriend left his K acoustic at the house by accident, or on purpose, I don't know.
Was it easier to play than the other one?
Yeah, it was, yeah. Okay. So I
What about in school? Were you part of the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I played the clarinet after my
grandfather.
Oh, yeah.
Artie Shaw.
Yeah.
With the Thundering Herd? Who was that?
Woody Herman?
Woody Herman, that, right?
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
You know, you don't see, I guess Woody Allen does a little clarinet. But, I mean, it kind of fell out of fashion, but I think that and the oboe could cut through. So you had a lot of band leaders that were clarinet players.
I think
one Dorsey brother was a bone, but I think the other guy was clarinet. Mm.
Yeah, he was.
Sinatra, right?
Yeah, they got the deal
that couldn't refuse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you got Frank under contract. Oh, you used to have him under contract. Yeah, that's right. what about the first fucking record you bought yourself, David?
That was Revolver.
Beatles.
Oh.
Yeah, I got Beatles, I got the Revolver. That, but then soon after that I was buying like Mothers of Invention and Captain Beefheart and stuff like that. So
what about the first gig you went and saw?
Well, that's a meatball. Captain Beefheart and Magic Band at Town Hall in 1973.
Wow, cool.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was Clear Spot Tour. It was awesome. It was just great.
Clear
came
Spot
out.
Drums? Pizza. I'm doing the radio show.
Hey, Pete.
That's my organ man for the second in. He's a longshoreman. He's on the dock, but he's got sickness. Might not be able to do crack today. I think for that album, it was Ed Marimba on the drum set.
Yeah.
And
Rocket Morton's Zoot Horn.
Yeah, Rocket Morton on the bass, Zoot Horn Rolo. I think the other guitar might have been the Winged
Eagle Fingerling?
Yeah.
No, I think that was Elliot Ingber.
Yeah, I think that's him on that record, right? Because Alex shuffled off. All the old guys from the desert by that time are gone, right?
Yeah, no, the tour was actually, it was Zoot Horn Rolo was playing, so.
Just one guitar. Yeah, but the album's got two guitars.
Yeah, it was two guitars on the tour, yeah.
Oh, it was. Okay, so it was.
Then,
who was the other guy? I'm just curious.
It was Rocket and Zoot Horn, both of them.
Rocket was on. Oh, was it the one where they had the mother's guy on bass?
Orijon, yeah. They called him Orijon, but it was really, was it
Hernandez or something? The guy went to jail for being with kids or something.
Right.
Look, this interview is supposed to be about you, though.
Right?
You're not a liar. You know, I read the Mike Barnes book, and I got all into this shit.
Reel it back in.
Yeah.
So, when that boyfriend left that guitar by accident, what, did you appropriate it?
I guess I kind of did.
Okay.
It was,
What did you, in the clarinet, so were you in the marching band, like the football games and shit like that?
A little bit, and also in the, you know, the band.
Right. So you learned how to read.
I learned how to read,
yeah.
Clef,
yeah. Okay, yep. But did you do the thing on the side, like a basement or garage band, bedroom band?
Oh, yeah. I had a band, I don't know, around 19...
Well, I gotta ask, because my mind, 70, my mind reading... things ain't developed far enough, so I do have to ask some things using words, David.
Use your words. It's okay.
So tell me about your garage band. Brother Matt with glasses. This is the first time I've seen this.
Yeah,
oh.
I gotta read now.
You read
my garage band was ill-fated, or whatever you word. When all the other bands were playing Tull and Zep. And or the Birds cover band.
You mean Jethro Tull?
Mm.
Yeah. So there was a band that would play all the Zeppelin stuff and all the Bird stuff, and they would play the Bandmobile out there in the park. We only once or twice got to play the Bandmobile and didn't get much of a reception because we were playing all original music.
Wow! So you didn't do the thing like copying off records?
We were copying ideas, but not. You know, songs.
Oh, that was pretty, I mean, about what period is this, 70s?
Yeah, 69 through 72, something like that.
I think
there.
You guys were, as far as Pedro goes,
yeah, very, very evolved.
No one here wrote their own fucking songs when me and D. Boone went to high school.
Wow.
Just did.
Yeah, I don't know what we were thinking. We also had a cello in the band, so.
Well, you guys were part of the movement that we wanted to be part of. We didn't want to be part of the model collecting, you know, like model trains. Yeah. Looks like the real thing, but it ain't. Look, I'm going to play you a song here. It's called I'll Believe, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you. an idyllic place. Gardens, flowers, leisurely face. It was built for the SS men. Walls keep quiet now, just like then.
I can stay here in Kent, Ohio, forever. I love my classes. I've got smart, creative, passionate friends. I'm living off campus. I have my life down to one electrical plug. I'm on food stamps. I'm acting in a play. And I'm in a band. Thank you.
just the moonlight till it looks real nice. Anything, I want just that. Everything, last plans. Everything, the great shows up.
Yourself. Love your mother and no one. She says, I'm no angel, I'm no saint. This may be the news that stayed you on the roses. They're sweet, incomplete, the love I gave you. She said, throw the roses in the sea. Just like me, they grow so fragile. Damage done by second hand. It's proper and supernatural. She said nothing can redeem her. I said different, my dear. She sees nothing, sees her future. I see a brighter day.
She says, angel sang, future faint. She says, angel sang, future faint. She sees nothing but I see a brighter day. She says, she says, she says, she says.
Watt for Pedro show. Yeah, that was the Shrams doing I'll Believe. Not I Believe, but I'll Believe, like in the future.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Your hedge, you and Brother Pascal. Frederick Kimboom, brand new. Kuruma Lanka, that's a lake in Berlin. Yeah. Chris Butler, Easy Life.
Oh.
And Chris Butler had a band called The Waitresses. Billy Fico on drums for a little bit. M.B. Jones out of Pusan with Just an Aberration. Mike Baghetta, he's in Knoxville now with Six. That's Roman numeral. Mm. I got to tour with him.
Yeah.
Going back in December. That's where I'm taking direction, but I'm not playing the dead dude bringing back the old songs. I'm actually taking direction doing songs nobody heard yet. Yeah, ain't that true? Yeah, there's actually four ways to do music now, Brother Matt, not just three, I found out. Talking about LA Times. And Guided by Voices, you know, he's working on his 105th record, right? Up Hollywood. Where have you been all my life? Well, listening to all your records. He's going to come here for New Year's and do a 100-song gig at the Roxy.
Wow.
West Hollywood. A duo decibel system out of Cleveland with Love Your Mother, brand new. And then finally, She Says by the Shrams. Okay, so. And what was the name of this tragic band? You know, everybody's got a band in high school and stuff that's not going to last, usually, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're all kind of ill-fated. Or you could say that they're, you know, it's sort of like you broke your leg and now the cast is done. It's time to cut it off.
Oh, maybe so, yeah.
Or fall asleep with it in the fucking tub like I did. It fucking dissolves. Then your arm ends up all twisted ass. I remember, you know, it was set on a hospital boat, right? The war was going on. That's why I came to be here, because Vietnam thing. And don't worry, when you're 60, we'll break it again and we'll make it straight. And I was like, fuck, no.
No problem.
So anyway, what was the name of this ill-fated band that actually I have a lot of respect for because they were doing fucking original music?
Yeah, well, wait till you hear the name. We called it, and this is before we knew about Cash Recall, we called it Citizens Band.
Okay.
Which is kind of a hippie thing.
You know Cash McCall?
Yeah.
Cash McCall played on my show a few times.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Brother Man had a blues show on KXLU called The Blues Shift. And a lot of, you know what I found out about Willie Dixon?
Hmm.
Like Sun Ra, he went to jail for conscientious objector.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
He was a boxer, too. He kicked ass.
I know he was a motherfucker, but deep guy, you know, just being a bass. But I dug deeper because you got me curious, Brother Matt. And I found that out. I found that out about Sun Ra and John's playbook. So, okay, now what happens is, do you go to college?
Go to college, yeah. I go to college.
You
and one of the guys, the cello player in that band in high school was at the college that I went to. And so we kind of kept going with that same band with a couple of different people.
What was
people.
The lineup of that band? You were on clarinet. This guy was on.
No, I wasn't playing clarinet in this band. I was playing guitar. Yeah.
The only for school you did.
Yeah.
Clarinet.
So okay. Did you go
only
to college?
For school, man.
Did you go to college for music, or were you doing other stuff and music on the side?
I went to go.
To make
sure. And I got 2 degrees from this Quaker college in Ohio. It was music composition and religion and philosophy, and they really have made me the man I am today.
What's a little music school in Ohio? Oberlin, right?
Yeah, that's up in the north. This was a Quaker college down in the south called Wilmington College.
Okay. Well, hey, we got a
Wilmington.
The town next
to us
is Wemoss. And actually, it's where the harbor started. Phineas Band from Wilmington, Delaware, the other Wemoss. Yeah, when I first came to Cali, because they bust in guys, you know, in junior high, and like this Wilma, man, she gets around. I didn't, you know, the Flintstones that rip off of the Honeymooners cartoon.
Everybody had to write it on the wall.
Right. It was all of sometimes really big. It was like, man, she must be bitching. So, okay, what were your college bands like there, David?
Even crazier, you know, we started doing, you know, we were kind of a jam band, so.
Jam meaning like Grateful Dead?
Yeah, kind of deadish, almond, me, you know, and then we started getting bar gigs in the local town, the
so you
towns.
Now, were you jamming like, but still being creative, or were you like, covering Grateful Dead songs?
We weren't covering Grateful Dead songs. We were jamming on our own things, okay. You know. I mean, God help us, I think we even wrote a rock opera.
That's Lord. Okay.
It's really bitching, though. It's bitching that we started at Mitch Miller, and now we're in psychedelic jam bands.
Right.
Exactly. But then we started playing these bars around the local, towns where they wanted, Southern pop.
I'm thinking Southern Ohio. There's a town called Athens, right?
Yeah, actually, I was there during I was there during the big Xenia tornado there.
So this is the place that you're playing. I got to play there only once, but they said that place was around since the '60s where I played. And college towns. We don't have a lot of those in California, but they're interesting. They're a whole kind of a service industry for a few years for some kids. Then they get to leave.
Yep.
So you play in places like this, and what happens?
Well, we started having to play songs that people knew in order so there was a sort of a change that went on. We started playing, In Memory of Elizabeth Reed and things like this, Allman Brothers stuff.
No Louie Louie.
Didn't have to do the frat thing, just the Southern rock thing.
And no Mustang Sally.
I wish. No, actually, we had a singer in the band, and we used to do things like
Whipping Post,
Chain of Fools. Yeah, we had a sort of a R&B singer, so we did things like Chain of Fools and Respect.
That's great too.
Yeah.
Kind of slow mo. Slow mo. So now this is why you're going to school, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and do any of these bands record?
Just on to a real, stereo, and the tapes are lost in obscurity, hopefully.
No, they went up with that Universal fire, right?
That's right.
God damn them, you gotta get on the class action there.
No released recordings at this point.
Do you want to say the name of these bands just for posterior?
It was still called Citizens Band. It was
Okay.
Yeah.
So that name was so different that you kept it going, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why.
I played with a cat from D.C. named Citizen Cope.
Yeah.
He was the turntable guy for Basshead.
Oh.
I think that guy's a minister now, the Basshead. So, did that band ever... Well, it might have ended sometime because the Shrams...
Yeah, it ended when I left Ohio. I moved up to Columbus, Ohio after college, and then I ran into the people from the UN Switchboard.
I remember those cats. In fact, the main guy ended up working for big labels.
Yeah, he did, Bob Pfeiffer.
Pfeiffer, but starts with a P. So Germans tell me you're supposed to make your mouth like a P, but you say an F. Pfeiffer. That's tough, huh? Okay, That's incredible. It was mainly him and a lady, right?
Werner Markarian. And the other dude, the drummer, was the guy who plays in the Shrams, Ron Metz.
Oh, wow. So there was
a connection. There's a connection. Yeah.
Okay. Our first connection, Minutemen connection, was Stashes and Lil Brother. Because everything was on High Street, right?
High Street, Columbus. Yep.
And, what happened was these guys lied at the record store. They said, there's no gig. Dukowski booked us. I'm not even going to say their name because they're such motherfuckers. But those cats at Stashes, we'll get you a gig. And they put things on the telephone poles right in front of Ohio State. I think biggest student body in the country. Ann Arbor, maybe. And we got a gig. They're beautiful. And so for Doug, and he moved up short north, all that stuff. I kept playing for him. He's gone now. But I'm going to be there in the fall, Columbus again. Is that when the Shrams start?
No, that's when I joined the UN Switchboard and started playing bass with them.
So that's how you know him. So he's the drummer man, and so now you're in there.
Yeah, I'm in there, and we move up to Kent, Ohio.
Right. In fact, that's where Chris Butler, I played.
Exactly, yeah.
Goddamn small world.
Small world.
Well, you tell people about the old days. There wasn't really that many punk rockers. It was a small... I think in England it was bigger, but here it was pretty small and spread out.
Maybe.
I can imagine Ohio. What's flat in the middle and round on the ends. I remember D. Boone bought a Telecaster in Kent. There was a place to play. We only played there once, called Mothers or Mothers. So it was upstairs.
The Numbers Band used to play there, right? Yeah.
And that's the brother of the Pretender singer lady, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, and there was a Beefheart gig that everybody went to, I heard. The Perry Uber guys, the Dead Boy guys,
yep.
Everybody was there.
Yep.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, July 3rd, 2000, I don't want to let go. Special guest, David Schramm. Hold tight for hour two. July 3rd, 2019, it's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Dusty word, what did we steal it? Taken by what we heard, lost in the sentiment. With all your lonely days, free you from those with every song.
Brand new face on the force. Tattooed mantle to laugh more.
Now outside of the bricks, I'm pulling in. Special guy, red flag in the wind. The crooked audience confines. I'm taking it in. Connecting faces to the files. I'm starting the car.
Lot for Pedro Show. We start off the second hour doing Faith is a Dusty Word from the Strams. And from K, way back, a song called Golo Sonza. Not too bad, right?
Okay. Pretty good.
Midwestern Medicine, who are actually from Portland, Maine, with the winking badge after that. Brand new from, see, they spell it VNLVX, but I think the V's are like U's, like Roman style. So that would be unlove, unlux, right? No light, right?
Latin yeah, yeah. Lux.
Yeah, okay. Let me in. And then finally, the Shrams with Hearts and Diamonds. So tell me about your time in the human switchboard. This is probably when you first, you know, besides playing bars in college towns, you start touring, right?
A certain amount, not... it wasn't a huge amount. We went to Harrah's in New York and played in various, you know.
Well, all, you know, in the old days, all the tours were about going to the Big Apple and then coming back.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Just get there and then figure out how to get back.
But, you know, you had been doing your own bands, right? You're a citizen, and now you join another cat's band. What was that like?
It was cool for a while, and then I realized I didn't want to do it anymore, so I left after a bit, moved to back to the New York area, and ended up in Hoboken of all places.
I mean, did you do any tour diaries during that time?
I don't think I've got any tour diaries, no.
Okay. So do you have any memories or anything?
I have memories of sleeping in the back of, you know, vans and on sticky floors and, you know the deal.
You know. that deal never ended for me. I'm about to do another couple of them coming up. No, I was just curious because, you know, everybody's not Watts, so I want to hear another voice sometimes. Because what we talking? We're talking the early 80s, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, exactly. Early 80s. And,
you know, a lot of this period really ain't that talked about.
Yeah, sort of like the post-initial, after the initial punk new wave explosion, you know.
Right, it seems like the conventional wisdom is Sex Pistols, Nirvana.
Kinda, yeah, but there's a lot of
in
there.
Nothing in the
plane. Yep.
So what do you think you learned by the sideman experience?
Well, yeah, there's a whole thing about being a sideman, which is different than being, you know, in the middle of the vortex.
The baloney,
you know.
We call that the baloney seat.
Oh, the baloney seat.
Or
it's
Northwest, they call it Lucky Pierre.
Oh.
That's a socket man in a three-way.
Yeah, I mean there was good, you know, it was good things about it, you know, there's less stress, I guess, than when you're playing your own stuff and then being in the middle of singing the songs, stuff like that.
Really? Because I found it harder because you don't want to let the kids
really?
Down. I mean, I want to be buried at sea, but I had this fucking nightmare about a gravestone, and all it said on it was "fucked up a Stooges gig."
Yeah.
But I never really had those.
Fine.
I never had those nightmares with a Watt gig. Okay, but I mean, everybody's got their own take on it. So you found it actually a little. And actually, when I get asked that question, that's what they always, before I get to answer, they say it's probably easier, ain't it, Watt? And then I say no, because I feel a big weight of responsibility. But when you go back to making your own band, do you think it changed in some ways?
Maybe I was maybe a bit more understanding. I don't know.
You also went to another sideman job with Ira, right?
Yeah. Well, there was a couple things going on. I was in a band with Ira in Georgia. We were the band for John Klages from the Individuals.
I remember. Wow.
Yeah. So Ira played guitar.
I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Yep. Okay. Georgia played drums. I played bass still there. So.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That
so
like?
That was. It was fun. It was, you know, it was fun. And then.
No.
Like I said,
how did you get into bass? I mean, you know, I got a kind of prejudice there.
I got into bass just because. That's
nobody else would rock it. I hear that now. You
know. No one else wanted to play the damn bass. So, you know, no, it's not true. I had a bass, so maybe that's part of it. And I liked playing bass. It was cool. It was cool.
Fingers
being
pick or both?
Down there.
Fingers,
what's
pick,
that?
Fingers pick or both?
Always fingers. I never used pick.
Oh,
all right. So,
I like pick too, but I can't use it, Artie.
Yeah, I mean, I've used pick since then, but you know, when I was playing with those guys, I was, you know.
I found out to use pick, you got to be at it, man. It's quite a skill. And fingers, you don't have to worry about losing pick. Well, maybe a little. Watch. I remember my woodshop teacher, Mr. Bone, with today's lesson, safety. You know, he holds up eight fingers. That's why he's teaching. So, wow, being a bass player in a band. Did you find it different than being a guitar man?
Oh, yeah. But this is something that's very satisfying about holding down the fort.
Yeah.
And sometimes not holding down the fort, you know.
Jack Bruce.
Yeah, and actually I did this really silly thing. In college, I took a wood shop course or something, and I built a bass.
Whoa!
So I had this fretless bass made out of teak and ebony and all the crap, and... It was crazy. It was
John Edwards
too big.
Built his first bass. I don't think.
Oh really?
I didn't know that. Yeah, I read this shit. I think he used wood from his fireplace or some shit. He was saying. Like, but he was like a teenager.
Yeah.
Not a skilled or anything. But his first bass was handmade.
Yeah, cool.
Mine
cool.
was from a pawn shop. I didn't know what a bass really was. At first, I played a guitar with four strings for about 4 years. And I saw this thing with big-ass cables. It was like, whoa, that's why there's only four.
Yeah.
So, wow, that's interesting. Okay. But how did the thing with Ira come about?
Well, you know, living in Hoboken, and, you know, we would play not just music, but we would play softball every Sunday down at the field next to the power plant, and sort of the whole music scene and the periphery would gather and play softball every Sunday, and got to know a lot of different people that not just through going to Maxwell's and other places around, but also just by hanging in.
Sure. And a lot of that fell apart, right? Because it got gentrified and expensive. I think Steve Shelley still lives in Hoboken.
Maybe so, yeah. Ira and Georgia moved out, so.
People had to move up the river and shit to Hudson. And
yeah, some people move up in New York State, some move into Manhattan, some to Brooklyn. Yeah.
Manhattan? I thought that's even more expensive.
Yep.
Oh, wow. So you're saying there was a lot of connection. It was a healthy scene. And I do remember.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't last long. Damn it.
No. What does? And what? Why?
What does? I'll tell you what does. Brother Matt Spinsack. Come and bring Brother Matt.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Another pilot there. Sorry, Brother Matt.
There's a path, it's not a road.
cast out on the waters, raging at the height of the storm. I couldn't help but recall a time when we were both just baby boys. And the stripes on the road struck by a streak of light from the east. Shimmered and changed in dawn's glimmering haze from yellow to pink. When I heard of the wreck, my heart left my chest.
bomb.
Yeah.
Brother Matt.
Yeah.
What made you do what you just did to us today with your spin cyclist?
Oh, some of the Captain Beefheart conversation earlier kind of helped. And having some new meat puppets still. And then also had some Al Scorch. Remember him? Yeah.
Right.
Chicago banjo man.
You think Cap Beefheart kind of made it crazy? I mean, safe to be crazy with music?
He seemed like he showed people it's okay.
But at the same time, with the Howlin' Wolf voice and all the blues, it was a weird mix, huh?
I think the blues kind of made it more accessible for some people.
Whereas Mothers had some doo-wop kind of trip. There was something about the Boyne. Even John Fogerty, right? The Boyne and the Thornton.
Yeah.
What do you think, David? What's your ideas on that?
Definitely the Howlin' Wolf made it accessible for some of us, but it was the weirdness and the, I don't know, it's the freeing from the, what is it, what do they call it, the mama beat?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, get the baby beat.
So John French and Mr. Tripp.
Yeah.
Incredible kind of... You know, when I play with El Sonido de Mayanada, those two Italians, they do times like that. I like to listen to it, but it's fucking hard work.
Yeah. Polyrhythmic or non-rhythmic or whatever you want to call it.
Five sevens. Yeah, this last, I did an album with them back in January, and one of them was an 11. You know.
Yeah. Don't think about it. Just do it.
Just like the taco burrito thing.
Yeah, the taco burrito, that's for the Vulcan. I had to use a little mnemonic device to stay in time for 7-4. I used taco burrito.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
Some dude's just filling all the holes with the riff. You know? Right? I think that's how the Pink Floyd did the five thing with money. Huh?
Sometimes if you do atmospheric guitar stuff, you just sort of float on top and don't worry about it.
Well, he asked Mr. Zuhorol to float that note, right?
That's right,
and
he did,
I think
he
ended up calling his book
low note.
That. He made a book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he lives in Eugene, Oregon. And you can get lessons from him on
YouTube.com. Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't shit you.
Okay.
So, you know, when I think of the Hoboken bands of those days, it didn't seem like, maybe they were listening to, they were like me, they listened to Cab Beefheart, but maybe there was kind of a pop thing, right?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. Absolutely.
Boston, too, what'd they call it? Tweed?
Tweed? Well, I don't know what they called it.
Yeah, well, I remember those days, because me and D-Boom, you know, we found out punk was more than just a band. You made a label, too, so we caught on to other people's scenes and stuff like that, and to me, music, at the bottom of the line, music's rhythms, notes, words, laughter, right, all that. Yeah, genre and all that shit's to make a marketing man's job easier. And I think it's our job to make his job fucking harder.
I like it.
Okay. Brother Man, we're at the end of the second hour. July 3rd, 2019 edition of the Watt for Pedro Show. You won't find any tanks rolling on the grass here. Hold tight. Hour three. July 3, 2019, it's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
He wants to know just what good youth is when all your dreams are dying. A waste of all the days you left me, long since left to lie. Such neglect. And after all, it's nothing real. It's only just a kind of make-believe. He used to be a firm believer of innocence and wonder. He threw away his treasures, but nothing else appeared to take their place. 'Cause after all, it's very real, the things you do, the things you don't believe.
says, you're so rare. You're so nice. You think I'm a fool, but you don't understand. Baby moves ahead of you in the game of checkmate. The people waiting for you are already waiting for one thing. Oh, sugar. They're a bunch of
I refuse to Yeah. said, welcome. Spent as in ashes, broke as in
Pedro Show. We start third hour with Shrams doing Good Youth. Another Umbrella. Late, great Richard Derrick. Just Enough. Bob Lee's going to be putting together a big thing I can't be part of because
touring. Flipper tour. Lotteria.
Some kind of lottery kind of thing. Lotteria.
Yeah, the Nella cap.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dave Travis.
Mm.
Good cap. Crane with The Deception of Bad Love. Yeah, but like, what's the other virtue? Okay. Danko Jones, another Jones. Ah, but this guy's from Canada. Danko, fist up high. Ooh. Got a rally. The coat hangers, follow me. Bodegas light up. Inland Empire, huh? And then finally, Spent from the Shrams. I thought that was good bookend, you know, Good Youth and then Spent. That's like a lot of cash here, right? We're peaking at 12th grade, you know, Spent. Time for the phone pile. So let's get caught up on the Shrams, you know, since that's your current trip.
Yep. Started playing with Ron Metz with the Human Switchboard, and he came out and lived in New York as well, and we started playing music together in Hoboken. And now then we hooked up with Al Greller, who was playing with Peter Stample and the Bottle Caps. Still played with them for a while.
And was that one of the DBs?
No, that was Peter Holzapfel.
Okay.
Peter Stample. That's okay. There's a lot of Peters around. Peter Stample was in the Holy Model Rounders for a while.
That's right.
Yeah.
Which freaked out the hippies.
Yeah,
right. Michael Hurley and, Joe Carducci hit me that.
Michael Hurley, he's gone.
So you think it was really important you serving that time with in this human search switchboard. That's why he sat on him.
It was important. Yeah, sure, why not? It was nice to hook up with Ron, and eventually we formed an alliance.
Right.
That was good. Yeah. And then, you know, other people floated in. We had, before Al joined, we had Mike Lewis, who played on the first Yellow Tango record.
Right.
He did half the first record and then moved to Boston. And then Al, that's when we hooked up with Al.
Okay. And people, he was saying that it's about 3 months worth of recording over 12 years.
Something like that. And it was didn't take notes.
Yeah, of course. Just a broad outline. Well, some people, you know, they do it in an afternoon. Some people, it's 3 months. Yeah, in 12 years.
Yep.
Whatever it takes. I have projects that are like that, too. So, and then you're the producer, man?
No, J.D. Foster produced.
Oh, wow. Yeah, of course.
Awesome guy.
Yeah, much respect.
He's done Calexico and Mark Rebo.
You know,
yeah.
Joey's from the Hill. Brother, man.
Oh, wow.
Palos Verdes, uh-huh. Yeah. Very cool people. Mm-hmm. Arizona man. Mm-hmm. Plans. You want to tour this?
Say again, what?
Tour the album.
Oh,
right?
Tour. Well, you know, we kind of were so focused on releasing. We didn't really talk to anybody about setting anything up. We were kind of never did a lot of touring in the States. We did more stuff in Germany and Austria and places like that. So we don't really have that all hooked up for this record. We'll probably do something for the next record, which we're going to start recording at the end of the summer, I think. Yep.
Now, is this going to take another 12 years?
No.
Okay.
This one will be an instant record, so to speak.
Yeah. I want to play this song, New England.
Cool.
Thank you. There's nothing more beautiful than when two people fall in love. Exchanging text messages, meet me in the alcove. He'd waited for so long, he felt nervous and scared. And the way she held her breath, she heard his footsteps on the stairs. I wanna hold you. I wanna hold you in my arms tonight. I wanna hold you. I wanna hold you until everything is alright.
Met one summer evening during a rainstorm in the park. Had one chance.
Say about people who left the carrier, say you don't, I guess, but you.
Watt for Pedro show. Last music for this edition, the Serranos with New England. Peter Wilde, after that, Two People in Love. The Left is part-time punk. A.B. Normal, Dum Dum Variations. And finally, Wild Innocence, the Shrimp. I mean, how young were you when you wrote that song?
Oh, how young was I?
You were probably less younger.
I was less younger, yes. Let's see, Wild Innocence, that's probably somewhere in 1994, something like that. I probably wrote it around 1994, so I think.
I'm wondering.
So I was 40? Yeah, yeah.
So I'm starting on that crisis thing, about to get the little convertible and the new girl coming on.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote a whole opera about being middle-aged punk rocker. It was more like 50, but... I'm curious about what makes you, first, does the music come first or the words?
Well, that's the weird thing. The music comes first, although I'd rather write the other way. But I never really get there. So, I've had a couple of situations where people have given me lyrics to write music to, and it's always a great joy to do it that way, but to do it the other way around is the way I usually do it, with the music coming first and then figuring out what I'm saying.
What comes last, title?
No, that's different every time.
See, I ask that because I always have to start with the title or I got no focus.
Oh, cool. Nice.
You know, that old joke, right? These two guys are driving around with a camera and they meet these ladies. Two ladies, and they said, look, you can use this camera to take our picture, but first you got to focus. And they go, both of us? I know, that's terrible, but that's where I got my email address. That's terrible. Where can people find you on the internet, David? Can people find you on the internet?
Well, there's the shrams.com. There's a
so spell
Facebook
that, T-H-E...
SCHRAMMS.com. So THE.
Yeah, and then you can get to whatever, Fake Look, Shitter, Instant Hand.
Yeah,
you can put your fucking flyers up on all those different kinds of telephone poles. But the idea of you having your own website, that's like having your own fanzine, man. No middleman, no filter. So I always do a big recommend on that to people. Sure,
cool.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In fact, I thought that was the future. Everybody would have their own site. I didn't know everybody would go hang out at these fucking merch malls. But look, now that I just gave some advice, what about somebody younger getting into the racket? What would you tell them if they asked you for advice?
On what? I didn't catch. on getting into
bass,
social media? Oh, music.
Sausage whistle, liquor stick, whatever.
I think they should just start playing and listening and maybe not even, I'm not sure they should take lessons. They should just listen and try to play what they hear and maybe it'll come out different and that'll be good.
That's
you
good
know what
advice.
I mean?
That's really good advice. Just listen, try something, and maybe it'll come out good.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe like skateboarding, if you fall down, get back up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mean to put a little appendage on your little mannequin.
No, it's okay.
Your advice mannequin.
No, go with it.
Okay. It's a big donkey dick. It's all on the front. So in the next plan, it's not torn. It's just this guy is kind of done deal now. You've cleared it out. And what you're focused on now is, now you got a full-time new bass man, right? So that's what the next album, right?
Yeah, we're gonna play some gigs around New York and maybe the East Coast. Maybe New England.
Man, I know a song you should open up with. What about where are you gonna record? Do you have plans? Is it gonna be back in Brooklyn?
Probably so, if he'll have us back. It was a great place. Amazing place. Yeah. He's guy's got great ears and the place is amazing. Library of guitars and amps and keyboards that you can just sort of go like kid in the candy store and
you don't have to bring your own shit. That's slick.
No.
Yeah. I've recorded twice only in Brooklyn. One was at the Studio G.
Yeah, with Tony. Yeah.
Tony Mamone, Joel Hamilton. You know, both of them. They have two of them, so maybe that's two different things. But then once, a while ago, a little bit
at Martin Beese's pad. It was
Evo
album with Sonic Youth, and like he had no booth. The desk was in the middle of the fucking room. And the Sonics, when you do a cover song, they asked me to do some Kim Thalley thing, Bubblegum, Frankenstein, and they play along to the record. I said, aren't you guys going to play with me? Oh, don't worry, Watt, we'll put it on later. And I'm playing the fucking record. Okay. So that's my Brooklyn experience. Well, man, I hope it comes out half as good as this fucking album, because you really did a good job. I really dig this. And big thanks for Howard to connecting this all up. And your journey, your journey through music, very interesting one. And you know, you never wanted to let it go.
No. Keep going. Forge ahead.
So that's some advice, too.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Arthur Rimbaud, right, 2 years, he was done. He wanted to run guns.
Oh, right. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Elvin Jones had the oxygen tank on stage. He wanted to keep going.
That's for sure, yeah.
So
yeah.
You're more like that.
Yeah, hopefully it won't come to that, but we'll see how it goes.
I kind of like that, too. We keep on pushing, Dave. Thanks so much for being on the show. Big honor.
Thank you, guys.
Brother Matt, thank you for being such an essential Aiden and a better.
Certainly. People, pleasure.
Yep.
Good fourth tomorrow. It's been the July 3, 2019 edition of Wapapedro Show. Keep your powder dry.
Yeah.